Back in January, President Bush made his first ever presidential trip to the Middle East. The aim was to jumpstart the peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. With less than a year left in the White House and a goal of ending decades-long conflict, the big question as he headed out on that trip was whether his Hail Mary attempt at peace in the Middle East could actually pay off. NBC News Tel Aviv bureau chief Martin Fletcher was on our show back in January. He told Allison Stewart this about the odds of Bush sealing a peace deal.
Ain't gonna happen.
Ain't gonna happen.
Ain't right. gonna happen.
And according to what New York Times Jerusalem bureau chief Steve Erlinger told us in another interview, here's why.
Bush is seen as not an even-handed actor. Most Palestinians, and I think most Arabs in the region, regard him as Israel's friend and not the Palestinians' friend. And I think that's the biggest problem.
But another expert, one with firsthand knowledge, is more optimistic.
I'm going to the Middle East to talk very clearly about the Palestinian state and how I'd like to get it defined before I leave office. And I think we can. I think we can.
That was President Bush talking to the Saudi-owned satellite network Al Arabiya as he prepares to head back to the Middle East today to nudge Israel and the Palestinians to get on with the peacemaking. Again, the question arises, will it do any good? Joining us now is Chaim Malka. He's the deputy director of the Middle East program for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Hello, Mr. Malka.
Good morning.
You wrote that thinking about peace between Israel and the Palestinians, thinking that could be solved in that last conference in Annapolis, was like thinking it could be solved on the moon. And Anthony Cordesman, a statesman, a diplomat, and to my knowledge, not a comedian, has compared the latest presidential foray into the Middle East as the roadshow version of Waiting for Godot. That's a good line, but is the situation that bleak?
It's pretty desperate at the moment. President Bush is going out to a region which is beset by many crises, not only on the Israeli-Palestinian front, where the politics on both sides are a complete mess and leaders are weak and unable to make some of the compromises that are necessary to jumpstart this process. But over the last week, Lebanon has descended into a crisis with a Hezbollah push for power there. Gaza is heating up. Iraq is not in a good shape. So there are a lot of problems that the president will face when he goes out to the region.
Do we have in Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, and Ehud Olmert, prime minister of Israel, individuals who could make a deal even if they wanted to?
Well, at the moment, Prime Minister Olmert is facing a very serious criminal investigation against him, which weakens his position in the government. President Abbas has always been a weak president and leader, and he only represents part of the Palestinian people. He is in control over only partial territory in the West Bank. There was a takeover of Gaza by Hamas last summer, and that has really challenged his ability to lead and make any kind of compromise in the negotiations. Really, the negotiations that are going on at the moment, the official negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians, are really going nowhere. The only relevant negotiations going on at the moment are being brokered indirectly by the Egyptians over a temporary ceasefire in Gaza. That is a significant development, and that is something that we should be keeping our eye on.
But that would just be to address the problem in Gaza, or would that somehow redound to the greater picture of Middle Eastern peace or Israel-Palestinian peace?
Well, it addresses a specific problem at this point in time, which is violence going on in Gaza, Israeli military incursions, and massive rocket attacks by Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups into Israel. So it would try to start with a temporary ceasefire in Gaza, and from there try to build to extend that into the West Bank and lift the siege of Gaza, exchange prisoners, including the Israeli prisoner that's been held for over 2 years. But again, you're right, that is a limited type of understanding, a limited agreement, which doesn't necessarily address the broader issues between Israeli and Palestinians.
And what about Hamas? Do they just want to make trouble? Do they just want to weaken Mahmoud Abbas and the Fatah movement? Are they even a couple steps away from actually being a positive player in the peace process?
There's always potential, but at the moment they are still committed to violence. They're still launching rocket attacks against Israel. They're still committed to the destruction of Israel. The real question is, can they somehow be brought into a process where they can be play a more positive role? And that hasn't that hasn't become totally apparent yet. I think it's possible that they will agree to a ceasefire. I think they do want to decrease the level of violence, and they do want to try to govern Gaza and prove to Palestinians that they are a force that is capable of governing. But there are real debates going on within Hamas at the moment. There is a real deep debate going on, intense debate going on between the hardliners in the movement that want to continue violence and continue rocket attacks against Israel, and those more pragmatic that want to try to govern and play a more positive role. But it doesn't change the overall ideology of Hamas, which will remain a militant Islamist and conservative social organization.
So does former President Jimmy Carter going over there and talking to Hamas help, or, like the Bush administration says, is that just at odds with what U.S. policy should be?
Well, dialogue can be important, but when you're talking with a terrorist organization, a militant organization, you have to have very specific objectives of what you're trying to achieve. I'm not convinced that Foreign President Carter had those kind of objectives. Like I said, the Israelis are indirectly dealing with Hamas through the Egyptians, and I think that's a much more significant track than to have this high-profile former president going over to talk to Hamas.
And obviously the music of the presidential race in the U.S. is playing in the background. Is it more than the fact that, you know, in their last year, all presidents become diplomats? Do you think George W. Bush wants to force an issue, say, Hamas friend or foe, and maybe that issue will resonate in the U.S. presidential race?
No, I don't think so. I think the presidential candidates want to stay as far away from that issue as possible. There's nothing good that can come from a candidate speaking about that issue in a nuanced way. So I don't think that this is going to be a campaign issue.
Maybe if all that can be achieved is that the president sets a tone and the U.S. wants peace, not war, and he makes that point clear, even if we're not going to get there, maybe there's some value to that, would you say?
Sure, there is value to that, and the president has done that. I mean, if we look back even into the first term of his presidency, he articulated very clearly U.S. support for a Palestinian independent state, and that was truly groundbreaking. So there's no doubt that his heart is in this, but the steps that were necessary all along the way never panned out, and there was never the real attention that was needed to move this process, and there was also a very narrow strategy for trying to achieve some of those lofty goals.
Chaya Malka, Deputy Director of the Middle East Program for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Stay with us here on the BPP. It's New Music Tuesday, new releases from Death Cab for Cutie, and Duffy will get a review coming up. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.